Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to remain frightened. So I say, let your rose bloom, everyone. Let your rose bloom. Again, I'm Reverend Crystal Muldrow. And we're wrapping up our theme for the month of change. And actually, this part of change is, well, the title of the talk is Change is Life, So Embrace Change, something like that, which i.e. means embrace life, which i.e. means embrace change. So excuse me as I'm not feeling my full light is lit. Roll with me here, please. And thank God for change, because at 9 o'clock, Heather Dedell was here, and she thought my voice was quite sexy. She's the only one, by the way, who has said that, but I'm still keeping it, even though I like to think of it as a sexy, raspy thing. I'm happy that change is happening and expecting that I will be back to my normal, deeper voice. So that's what we're really looking at in change. And we're looking at the impermanence of everything. You know, it's basically a fancier word for change, impermanence. We use it in Buddhism all the time, the impermanence of life. And actually, in this world that is relative, this world of opposites, this world that continues to ebb and flow, all we have is change. All we have is impermanence. And actually, isn't that, when we really think about it, the beauty of the world? We realize that the world is passing away, especially in the fall when the leaves are starting to die. Now these beautiful colors of gold, orange, red, fiery. And people pay good money to see those shifts and changes up and down the highway. And that change is beautiful. As things die off, as the leaves die, the trees go still, only to gain energy to be reborn. You know, love of the world that we so desperately want to hold on to, not the world of love and light that God has for us, that builds within us each and every day, but that world of I'm going to get mine, you get yours, of speed and all this other stuff. That world will inevitably bring you disillusion. And so, as we are in the world of change, I want you to realize that our priorities should not be in those changes. It should be in the awe. You know, the Bible says the fear of God. It's the awe of God, not fearing God like, oh my God, in the Old Testament. Like, if I do something wrong, if I fail, God is going to smite me. God is going to send a lightning bolt and hit me, and I'm just going to be all of it. No. It's actually a mistranslation. It's an awe of God. It's no matter whether you are ebbing and flowing, whether you're coming or going, whether you're moving through life and death, which life and death is in each and every moment, in each and every second of each and every day, or you're filled with success or failure, be in awe of that moment, because the only moment that we have. Be in awe that is God's greatness that has the capacity for us right there. See, we can choose to see the so-called negative components of the opposites of the struggle, of the death, of the ebb versus the flow, the going, the failures. We can choose to see those, but I invite you to think of that as knowing that each and every aspect of the comings and goings are an aspect of a spiritual evolution, your spiritual rising. And so, I want to share several stories. The first one I want to share is about Theodore Roosevelt. I'm pretty sure that Theodore Roosevelt said that the only man who never makes a mistake is the man who never does anything. You can also add the human that never fails, doesn't do anything. You're in stagnation. You're in death. There's no ebb and there's no flow. There's only fear. For isn't that the reason why we don't move? Why we don't embrace impermanence? I know as a unity person, while I was first getting into Buddhism, and for those of you who don't know that I am twice ordained a Buddhist nun. I like monk, though, because every time I think of nun, I think of my Catholic school teachers with the habits and stuff. So you can call me a monk, that's fine. But I remember as I was going through that, my teacher would continue to say crystal. Or actually it was Butbo, that is my Buddhist name. There's always going to be an ending. There's always death. Embrace it. And with my failed unity thinking, I was like, I'm not going to think that. That's negative. That's not death, no. Ending, no. I'm only going to think of butterflies and unicorns. Rainbows. It took me a long time to finally get that there's blessings and joy and God and everything. And that once we release our need to hold on, once we release our thoughts that nothing will end, we can ebb and flow in the peace and the joy and in the delight and in the awe of that is God in everything. Even the squeaky, sexy voice of mine. You know, in Buddhism, this says flow like water. I give you the example of flowing like water, and that even though water seems to be the softest, most luxurious thing that can come across our bodies that we pick up, it is also some of the strongest aspects in life, for it is this water that will move around everything. That's why we choose to flow with it. No matter what the hindrances are, no matter what seems to block it, it will find a way to go around it, above it, under it, below it, and it is so strong that it can dissolve mountains. Water is so strong, it can dissolve rocks. It can ebb and flow and shift our own body movements, and yet it is soft. Beloveds, embrace impermanence and just flow like water. And if there seems to be a sense of failure for you to move forward, embrace it. For it is in our wanting to hold on to our shame and our guilt and our blaming ourselves for that which is an illusion of perfection that we suffer. And that is not God's want or will for us. God's want and will for us is to see the beauty in every moment of every aspect of every day. And no matter whether you have failed or not, you will be able to flow and you will be able to grow, because through all failure, through all mistakes, that is really what it is meant to do. The mature person grows through the failures, evolves through each and every one of them, because the more you embrace it, the more you learn. I don't know why us humans are built like this. I don't know why it seems like we have to go through heartache or sorrow or failures or mistakes. But I ask you, think about your greatest teachings. And more than likely, it came through your greatest failures. Most our inventions, most of our best inventions came from a multitude of failures. Failed attempts. But you know, there's a difference between failed attempts and failure, yes? There's a difference between failed attempts and being a failure. You will never be a failure when you fail unless you choose to remain down. You will never be a failure if you fail. If you rise. And there's a certain spiritual aspect, because we all do it, but we all don't want to embrace it. That's the beauty of impermanence with failure, is knowing that at some place, some way, as a human, we are going to misstep. I'm going to throw out a word that we don't like to use. We're going to sin. I know in Unity, we usually don't use that word, but you, for all of you who have been here with me for 4 years, you know I like to whip that out. Because it really isn't, this, what I'm going to share with you isn't a metaphysical term, it's actually a literal term of sin. That even though our brothers and sisters in traditional Christianity or Catholicism don't really share, but they learned it too. Sinning is an archery statement, and it just means missing the mark. Can whomever has not missed the mark, made a mistake, please raise your hand. Exactly. Is there any reason to shame or blame ourselves for the seeming imperfection where perfection is only an illusion? Whose perfection are you referring to? And at what time and what place? The perfection in all of life is the ebb and flow of life, and embracing it fully, whether it's success or failure. Because once we start worrying about if we're going to fail, we stop. We stop the flow of God. We stop the flow of life. And so I invite you each and every time to choose change, to choose life, whether it's failure or success. And if you have a failure, I give you the picture of an infant that's just learning how to walk. And of course, they crawl. Something in them, something within us, if there is the physical capability to do this and the mental capabilities to do this, there's something within that infant that sees everyone walking and wants to try it themselves, yes? And they'll grab something, they'll grab you, they'll grab the couch, they'll grab a table, and they'll somehow struggle to get up. And we go, yay, look at you. And they go, yay. And with shaking legs, they try to take their first step, and inevitably what happens with the first step? They fall. They get that look of, you might get a cry, you might get something else. But what always happens with the baby at some point in time? They get back up. They try again. And even that cry, unless they hurt, they're hurt. It's temporary. That is a failed attempt at walking. Learn from an infant. Don't wail and waddle in your misery because of one failed misstep. Get back up. Learn from that misstep. Maybe the baby couldn't get that other foot in, and so they learned from it. One step at a time. Beloveds, live, flow, go through the spiritual awakening of failing, through the knowing of impermanence. Because with impermanence, you come to the realization that everything ends, everything dies. And once you come into that realization, not in a negative way, not in a woe's me way, but when you come to that thing of this moment, it's going to go away. You come to a clarity that in this moment, there is nothing else. In this moment, it's going to change. In this moment, I will look out and be in awe of everything and everyone, every voice, every sound, whether I failed or succeed, whether I'm coming, whether I'm going, no matter what it is. I will embrace it. Because all there is right now. And so, beloved, failure has happened within the Bible. Failure has happened with Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, Peter, Jesus. Yes. Oh, I saw some heads pop up with that. What? Jesus? Some people think that he failed because his disciples, while he was living, didn't understand his teachings. It had to be through his death and rebirth that they understood. And that's the example that Jesus gives, that through the death and acceptance and the moving and the flowing, you will always rise. You will always have a new opportunity to succeed. So I will leave you. I'm cutting this down to one story that I love. And since I'm not going to count on my full memory, and this story is really good, I'm going to read it to you as enthusiastically as I can. We know that Thomas Edison has been claimed to have invented the microphone, the phonograph, the incandescent light, the storage battery, talking movies, and more than 1,000 other things. One day on December 1914, he had worked for 10 years. He had worked for a decade on a storage battery. 10 years. Do you know how many times he failed at his mission? And what did he continue to do? He rose up. He started over again. Started where he left off, or started anew. This had greatly even strained his finances, yet he knew victory was his, because he wasn't going to let his failures sway him from not doing the mission that he was set to do. A particular evening in December, spontaneous combustion had broken out in the film room. In this particular room where the film had, in minutes, broken into flames because it had packaging compounds, celluloid for records and film and other flammable goods. They were all in flames. Fire companies from 8 surrounding towns arrived, but the heat was so intense and the water was so low that they could do nothing to douse the flames. It was futile. Everything that Edison worked for was up in flames. And he was at the tender young age of 67. Yeah, I know a lot of you would appreciate the tender young age of 67. And so with all his assets going up in whoosh, flames, the building was brick. It was thought to be unable to burn up because it was brick. It was only $238,000 that would go to him. Panicked, Charles, the inventor's son of 24, frantically looked for his father. He finally found Thomas, calmly watching the fire Thomas was doing. His face was glowing in the reflection, and his white hair was blowing in the wind. It was at that moment Charles said, "My heart ached for my father." Charles knew that he was no longer a young man, and knowing that everything had gone up in flames his whole life. And when Thomas saw Charles, he yelled to him, "Charles, where's your mother?" And Charles said, I don't know where mom is. And Thomas said, "Go find her. Go find her. She will never, ever see anything like this as long as she lives." The next day, as Thomas's wife look at everything in ruin, Thomas Edison said this quote, "There's a great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God. We can start anew." 3 weeks after the fire, it's said that Thomas Edison managed to deliver the first phonograph. It is amazing what can be done if we just go with the flow. Embrace that seeming thing that seems so chaotic, that seems like our life is going in flames. Thich Nhat Hanh says, once we recognize that all things are impermanent, we have no problem enjoying them. In fact, real peace and joy are only possible when we see clearly into the nature of impermanence. Just as Thomas Edison did, just as it could have been conceived that the failure to store, the failure for him to recognize combustion, the failure, he could have gone anywhere with that. But he delighted in the awe of God in that moment, the beauty and the brilliance of fire. And he chose not to look at the ebb and the flow, the going away, as something horrific. He chose to see it as something to be in awe at. And because he was at peace with the impermanence of his life's work, he was easily able to embrace new life. So I invite you to embrace all as an aspect of God. Whether it's your successes, whether your failures, whether the thoughts of your misdoings as sin, your misstep, just flow like water. And whatever gets in your way, just be easy, release, let it go. Move around it, move under it, move over it. And know this too shall pass. Because God's blessings, only God's blessings, are waiting for you if you choose to see the beauty in it all. So with that, I invite you, with this sexy, horsey voice, froggy voice that I have, to listen to me say this. And then, if you agree with the denial and affirmation, second time around, we can say it together. I no longer allow my fears of failure to stop me from embracing change. I know everything is possible because of change. Let that move into you. Excuse me. And if you can agree with that, let us say that together. I no longer allow my fears of failure to stop me from embracing change. I know everything is possible because of change. Feel that. Don't just read it. Look at the words. And possibly I should have said all. I no longer allow my fears of failure to stop me from embracing any and all change. You know this because everything is possible, because if it didn't change, we wouldn't move forward. We'd be stagnant and all we would be dead. All of us would be dead, including this planet. So move and flow like the river. And be thankful, because everything in your life is possible because of change. God bless you all.